from the ages.
There is every reason to believe that the earliest superstitions grew out of pagan religions. Sun worship and moon worship were very important to primitive man. These heavenly bodies were viewed with great fear and respect, and it was believed that both had great powers to change human affairs. So thousands of beliefs sprang up about them.
That is a paragraph from a book called Superstitious, Here's Why, by Julie Batchelor and Claudia DeLisse.
This is Face to the Future, a new transcribed series on this station produced in cooperation with the North American Air Defense Command. Its conductor is Del Vina, well-known broadcaster, author, lecturer, a lady of adventure as well. It's Face to the Future. And here is our hostess, Del Vina.
Welcome again to Face to the Future. There was once the man who asked the question, which came first, the hen or the egg? Anybody who believes this argument finally was resolved is not to be trusted, because it hasn't been resolved to my knowledge. It still crops up from time to time. The same is true of superstition. It's so old, one could ask which came first, superstition or people. Much of superstition depends on point of view. The loss of a foot must be bad luck to the rabbit, just as possession of a rabbit's foot is considered good luck by its possessor. Superstitions of the world, some silly, some fantastic, some horrible, are so deep they have been historic interferences with progress.
One Hindu in India has the reputation of being his country's poison king. When he hears someone has been bitten by a snake, he tears a piece of cloth in six pieces, ties the pieces into knots, and chants. The victim may be 1,000 miles away, but the poison king guarantees a cure if he hears about the bite in time.
My husband and I live on a farm in the Midwest, and we always plant our potatoes in the dark of the moon.
And in France, unless a child is born under the veil in Normandy, its chances of good luck and good life are remote.
Throughout history, common people and even some of the world's great leaders have been guided by superstitions. Umbrellas have been carried over heads of potentates in eastern countries for 9 centuries, not to ward off weather and sun, but to keep off evil spirits who were jealous and might attack great people. Hitler had his astrologer, and Sir Winston Churchill, the world's great political realist, once had an astrologer because he wanted to know what kind of advice Hitler was probably getting from his. Theatrical greats are still fearful of whistling in dressing rooms, and many a baseball pitcher won't go near the park on the day he's to go on the mound unless he sees either a load of hay or a load of beer barrels on the way.
Why is it bad luck to light 3 cigarettes on 1 match? This is one of modern life's most rigidly adhered to and honored superstitions. How many times have you seen the third person in line nervously blow out the match flame and ask for a new one? Many times, I'll bet. Maybe it had its origins earlier in some hard-to-trace moment. But it is a known fact that the greatest currency was given to it by Ivar Kruger, the Swedish match king and financier. He manufactured matches and wanted to sell them all over the world. It was he who urged that the rumor about 3 lights off 1 match being bad luck be circulated as widely as possible. The reason was simple. Every time he could get 3 people to light 2 matches instead of 1, it'd turn him a profit. It wasn't the bad luck which worried him as much as economics and improving his balance sheets.
Today we have other vested interests, who use superstition and mystery to cloak their real aims. For instance, while America and the free world owe the preservation of world peace and freedom from global air attack to our possession of atomic weapons, the specter of atomic effects on future generations is used to try scaring us into throwing away the power which has ensured that peace. For some fancied danger in the far-off future, it serves some interest best to have us subject ourselves to the real danger weakness would bring upon us today. For my guest on this program, I've chosen the world's great lady of superstition, Claudia DeLisle, author of more than a dozen books on the subject. Will you tell us a bit about yourself, please?
Well, first, I have two PhDs, though one would be enough, but first one is in Calcutta on social anthropology, and the second one in La Sorbonne at home, where I have comparative religion PhD, which helps me a great deal to get the background and the origin of these 80,000 superstitions that I have.
What would you say most often gives birth to superstitions?
Well, first we should define what superstition means. Fear is the basis of superstition, of all superstitions, and it is a fear of insecurity of one kind or another. It's a question of education. I feel that since emotions came first and reason afterward, the emotions are apt to fool us if we are not well grounded through the knowledge of cause and effect.
Do you have some modern example of superstition getting in the way of progress?
Well, I think it still does. I think there are controversial subjects. People are in each other's hair all the time. It's the hardest thing to launch a new thing. We have the Salk vaccine now, which is a proof in itself. People go reluctantly, and if they can avoid it, they can. But it's fear that prevents it. And fear is superstition. The slow progress of civilization has been due to superstition.
What is the basic element of this fear?
They have the fear of death, which is a sort of basic. We all are dread that final moment, but it only happens once, so why worry about it? Because when it does happen, we won't know about it.
What is the most common worldwide manifestation of superstition?
Well, everyone has some fetish. We have a tremendous business all over the world on lucky charms. We carry various things, you know. We still worry about a black cat crossing our path, whether it's a horse, cart, or an automobile, or what. And
well, do you think our space exploration will destroy or build more superstitions?
I think it will do something as far as the moon is concerned. I'm a little bit sorry about that, because it will really disturb a little bit of the romantic feelings we've had about this funny thing up there that looks upon us. So I think that it does destroy some of the things, but basically I think it will remove also some of these false illusions and perhaps enlarge the feeling of grandeur that people should know about the great pattern of the universe.
Don't you think this will give people greater horizons in many ways?
Perhaps give better value to the spiritual side of life and not to be afraid of the unknown, because even when nobody has ever seen an atom, and yet we know it works. So we should have faith instead of fear in them and trust in the hands of the experts that we have.
How much of superstition is cued to man's desire to simplify, to find an easy answer to something he doesn't understand?
Well, I think a man tries to rationalize his fears, you see, in one way or another. And to get rid of superstition, it will take a long time, because we have a long way to go before we are emotionally stable and intellectually capable of dismissing all these fears and phobias.
How much of the ancient superstitions are still with us?
The taboos of ancient times are with us in our customs, our beliefs, our etiquettes. Everything is pertaining to ancient fears. But now we understand why we put our fingers or our hand over our mouth when we yawn. It's not to keep the soul from getting out or the devil from getting in. It's because it looks more gracious.
North America prides itself on being better off intellectually than many parts of the world. Just how free is it of superstition by comparison with other less blessed places?
America is really full of superstitions of one kind or other, and these are passed on by the parents who do not rid themselves of those fears.
Do you have any evidence of superstition in Russia?
They are basically not as superstitious in the same sense, but they are fanatically superstitious about world conquest. Now, conquest feeling is a feeling of greed. Greed is due to insecurity.
Just how many superstitions are there, and how important are they considered to be? Well, in some parts of the world, government leaders refuse to do business on certain days. Some businessmen still believe good luck rides with a week which starts with a sale to the first customer who comes in on a Monday. And since money has come to mean so much, the superstitions about money are growing to a point where our people are trusting in good luck, personal and national, as an excuse for reluctance to spend for maximum needs in education and security. It was the German Iron Chancellor Bismarck who once said, "A special providence protects fools, drunkards, and the American people." While the American people are far from sure that this is true, and have the blemishes and bloodletting memories to prove otherwise, most are agreed that charms, symbols, and gestures are a poor substitute for applied effort, applied substance, and solid achievement. Now, one more question, Mr. Lease. What are your warnings about superstitions as we approach the year 2000?
Those who live by the fortune-telling yardstick, which takes in millions of dollars in this country, which could go to much better causes, if they could realize that 95% doesn't happen, only 5%, which is a very bad percentage, give up this wishful thinking, be practical, and when they don't know, ask, go to the source.
Hardly a one of us has grown up without the spooky punisher and parental aid known as the boogeyman. To some, he has 1,000 offspring, and they counsel from every angle of man's never-ending supply of fears. But it's wise to remember the counsel of a hard man of another era, Germany's Moltke, who said, "Luck in the long run is given only to the efficient."
This has been Face to the Future, a transcribed series on this station produced in cooperation with the North American Air Defense Command and featuring Delvina with her parade of interesting guests. Be with us next time as we put our face to the future.